We're still on the topic of love, and we talked about the family in February, March, moving on to love. We talked about fish love and stuff like this. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 21 today, 15 to 19. Let's stand as we look at lost and found. Okay? John chapter 21, verse 15 to verse number 19. I'll read verse 15, verse 16, and so on until you reach verse 19. The Bible says, "So when they had dined, after they have eaten, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, Feed my lambs." Verse 16.
Say to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him,
Verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. He was sad because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 18.
When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself.
Verse 19, let's read together. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he says unto him, follow me. That's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into this very personal chapter or passage, Father, you allow Jesus to deal with Apostle Peter. Help us to learn lessons, Lord, in our lives that will take us to the next step. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will have its way with us, knowing that it is the Holy Spirit that will teach us. We pray that when the word is preached, you will take your word and apply it to our hearts. It's totally your operation, your area, and we leave that part to you, Lord. And I pray that you humble us now to open our ears and our hearts as we hear what you have to say. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When I was 6 years old, I was in a PAP kindergarten. Last time PAP kindergartens was on two stories. Now it's in Spanking. Two stories as in, it's in the HDB block. But the last time they have the first story and the second story is joined by a staircase in the middle one. Right? That you can go up and down. So the K1 was at the bottom, K2 at the top. So I was 6 years old and I know my kindergarten was 3 o'clock, 3:30 to 5:30. I know because last time when I was young, I would actually look forward to something, okay, that starts at 6 o'clock, which is a television program, which I don't watch anymore, okay, which is Ultraman. But anyway, at 5:30, when kindergarten is over, my mom will come and pick me up, okay? On that particular day, she was a bit late, okay? But I know that she will come, all right? But what happened was, I became anxious as a six-year-old, and I decided to take things into my own hands, so I go and look for her. Now, where will a six-year-old go and look for the mom when she's late? But I don't know, I just went out. So just imagine these two stories. It's kind of like a shop house, okay? Bottom is a shop house on top. So the PAP is at the bottom and the top. And then the rest is all houses, those flats, flats houses. And so what I did was, there's a staircase here, a staircase here. So I went down to look for her. And I couldn't find her, of course. I don't know where she was. But what happened was, at one of those times, I was kind of going up and down, and I saw her going down this staircase. You know, as a six-year-old, you shout for mom, you know, then you run. You know, of course, you run there, she's not there anymore. You know, then I run down, then after that, I know then I'm just going round and round. I was lost, okay? I took things into my own hand. I knew she was there until a teacher came out and said, what are you doing, Chuan Sheng? That was my Chinese name, okay? I'm looking for my mom. I said, okay, that's all. She was very kind. She says, you wait here. You wait here. One principle when you are lost, don't anyhow run, children. Just stay where. Parents will always come back to the last place that they left you or they thought they left you. Okay, anyway, the wise teacher, last time, just you stay here, your mommy will come. And true enough, she turned up. Okay. She said, I became lost. And I was just thinking through that in preparation for this message. And you know, I knew my mom would come. She always came. I became lost because I lost faith in the fact that my mom will come. I lost faith. And I began to take things into my own hand. Okay? Now, going back to John chapter 21 as an introduction, Christ has told Peter and the disciples that he is going to rise from the dead. Yes? Before Jesus went to the cross, he has already told his disciples many times, I will die, I will be crucified, but I will rise from the dead. But Peter and the disciples did not know what he was talking about. Kind of like many Christians, when we hear the preaching of God's word, we have no idea what it was all about sometimes. So Jesus was crucified and he died. And you know what? The disciples was lost. What do you mean by lost? You know, for 3.5 years, the disciples gave their lives to Jesus to follow him. But when Jesus was crucified and died, Peter and the disciples did not know what to do next. Their master was dead. There was no one to follow. They lost hope. They lost direction in life. They lost their way. They don't know what to do next. And the question is, are you in that condition today? As a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are you lost? There is something that is happening to you that you find your Christian life very vague. You kind of just live from day to day. I've heard this many times as Christians. Oh, just live from day to day. Situation and trials and things and people around you seem to be contributing to your lostness. All right, question for you. In John chapter 21, have the disciples met the Lord Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead? Before John chapter 21, did the disciples meet Jesus already after he rose from the dead? And the answer is yes. Yes. Yes, they've already met him. The question is, then why are they still in that condition of lostness? Not unsafe, lost in Christ. Don't know what holds tomorrow for them. They were powerless. They have lost the courage, the will, and the faithfulness that they used to have. The Lord Jesus in this passage, if you read John chapter 21 closely, was dealing with Peter specifically. All right? And you know why he dealt with Peter? Because Jesus had a purpose for Peter. Christ, I believe, wants to deal with us today. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we are lost in our Christian life. Some of you, not all. There are some who are pressing on in Christ and doing what they know is right. And yeah, they are undergoing the stress. And all. But I want to say, some people are just moving along in their so-called Christian life. And they have no direction. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. I believe in the revival that we are looking for. I hope that you all will make time to come on Sunday Bible Hour, because we're looking at revival. But I believe Jesus wants to deal with us individually and as a church. He doesn't want us to continue in our lostness. Some of you are walking with Christ. Keep it up. Keep walking with Christ. Oh, Brother Johnny, it's hard. I know it's hard. Marathons are never meant to be easy. All right? Marathons are long. And you've got to keep on going. And sometimes you're just tired. You just keep walking, but you keep moving forward. But you know what? I think I shared before, there was this marathon runner from Britain. She's the favorite, but because of, I think one, I can't remember which Olympic Games. For the marathon, she didn't make it because at 32 kilometers, she sat down and gave up. Because it was just too hot. Christ doesn't want us to give up the Christian faith. But you know, sometimes we don't go through lostness as a Christian. In this message, I want to tell you two things: the reason for our lostness and the restoration to God. How can we can be restored to the direction God wants? So I want to know these three things. Okay, John chapter 21. I will follow a lot of the passage, but I will also refer to some of the verses printed so you can refer to. Number one, in order to be restored from our lost case, to be found again, we need to recognize that we are lost. We need to recognize firstly we are lost. Let me just go through what happened to Peter, right? Look at Luke 5:11, which is in your verses. Number one, he followed Christ. Luke 5:11, the Bible says, and when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, for those who know a little bit of background, Luke chapter 5 is actually very interesting because it is at Luke 5 that Jesus called Peter to the ministry. Okay? It was a time that Peter and the disciples went to fish. Remember, the Lord, we have fished the whole night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the nets. Remember the story? And they went now, and guess what? The Bible says they caught so many fishes, and Peter had to call the other disciples to come and help, to the point that the fishing net almost broke. And then at that point, Peter looked at Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Lord, I'm not worthy to serve you." You know what Jesus says? "Fear not. From today you will catch men." And the Bible says in verse 11, they brought their ship to land, and they gave up everything to follow Jesus. So number one, they followed Christ. Okay, if you are following in your point, number one, but you know the sad thing? Trials came. Jesus said, "I'm going to be crucified." The soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And the Bible said the disciples, when they saw that Jesus was arrested by the temple police, the Roman guards, they forsook Christ. Mark chapter 14, verse 50, and they forsook him and fled off. Firstly, when Jesus called, they forsook all and followed him. But when trials came, they forsook him and fled. I want you to follow the sequence. Firstly, they followed Christ with all their hearts, and now they forsook him. And guess what? In John chapter 21, they've fallen back. In John chapter 21, verse 3, and Simon Peter saith unto him, "I go a fishing." What was Simon Peter's occupation before he followed Christ? He was a fisherman. Then after that, he was supposed to catch men. Then he forsook Christ. And guess what? He's fallen back. He says, "I'm going back to my fishing." "I'm going back to my fishing. I'm going back to where I was used to. I'm going back to my job. I'm good at that. I'm going back. I can achieve that's within my area of comfort. I'm going back to the place that I'm more comfortable in. Oh yes, I used to follow Christ. I used to be faithful. I'm going back to where I'm very comfortable. I don't want to press forward. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my previous life before I commit to follow Christ." That was what Peter was telling the disciples. He said, "I can achieve that. That's within my area. I can feel good about that." And guess what? After Peter said that, the disciples said to him, "We are going with you." Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were not. Interesting, right? You know what the lesson there? When one person gets discouraged and takes a course of action that walks away from God, it's interesting, many others will follow. That's the human nature. That's the human nature. Please keep in mind that they have met Jesus after the resurrection. Please keep in mind they know all the words of Jesus Christ. Please keep in mind also that they know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And keep in mind they have confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But when Peter said, "I go fishing," they all follow too. Because it sets a precedence, a wrong precedence. Precedence. So Peter left, went back to his worldly occupation. He used to serve God. He used to live for Christ. He used to be faithful to the work. He used to read the Bible. Used to pray. Used to go soul winning. Used to teach a Bible class. Used to be faithful. Used to be abstaining from sin. Used to. But guess what? When he went back into the world, the Bible says in John chapter 21, verse 3, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When we walk away from the Lord, we will never be happy if you are a Christian. Amen? Thank God for that. Actually, thank God for that. Don't be too happy when you're walking away from God. They followed Christ, they forsook Christ, they fell back, and they lived a futile life after that. They caught nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor they had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. It was meaningless, it frustrates me, vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. The phrase under the sun means without Christ, without God. And so Peter walked away from God. But you know what? Perhaps he had a reason. What was his reason, you think, that Peter decided that, hey, I'm not worthy to serve God? I would think that Peter was in a state, knowing Jesus Christ, he has committed his life to Christ, he has served God. Boom, something happened. What was that? What was that that happened in Peter's life? What did that happen in Peter's life? He denied and betrayed Jesus Christ. He betrayed Jesus Christ. Now, that's a serious thing, to betray the Son of God. How many of us have this experience where you did very well and suddenly something struck you and then you thought, oh, I don't think I'm worthy. I'm useless to God. You know what? That's the devil's lie. Because I find in the Bible, John 21, Jesus came looking for him. We may think that we are lost, but in Christ you are never lost. Amen? You have the shepherd coming after you. But you know, in order to be restored, we need to recognize our condition first. We need to recognize that we perhaps have forsaken the Lord at some point in your life. That was the purpose for the quote in your bulletin. Tell me where you left Christ, and I'll tell you where's a likely place you're going to find him again. If you, maybe you stop your Bible reading, and you've lost your love for the Bible, well, it's time to go back to that place again. And Christ is going to find you there. But we need to recognize our lostness first, in Christ. Thank God, Christians will never be lost. We can lose direction, we can lose focus, but in Christ we are never lost. But number two, I want you to realize the love of the Savior. Number one, recognize our lostness in Christ. But number one, realize the love of the Savior. John 21, verse 4. After they spent the whole night catching nothing, going back to their past life, I don't know, maybe it added more to their discouragement. I cannot even catch anything after that. Verse 4. But when the morning was come, guess who was there? Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Why? Because they were too far from him. Right? They were too far from him. They were in the sea fishing. Jesus was on the shore. The sea could represent trouble and trials. It's always all over the place. But Jesus was on the stable shore. Isn't that the position of Christians when we float away into the world? Even when Jesus is standing there, we cannot see him. That was a condition of the disciples. Verse 5. Guess who initiates contact? Then Jesus saith unto them, children, notice, he didn't say, you sinners. He said, children, have ye any meat? And then answer him, no. The Lord Jesus shouted, perhaps, above the waves, are you full? Do you have any food? What was Peter's response? Verse 7, for the disciples whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter. Who was the disciple whom Jesus loved? John. It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. No fisherman fish naked. Okay? The Galilean fishermen, when they work, they always had a loincloth along, kind of like our swimming trunks today. Okay? But you know, when you jump into the water, what do you normally do? Let's say if someone is drowning, what do you do? When you want to save someone in the water, you take out everything, right? What did Peter do? When he realized he was the Lord, the Bible said he took out his fisher's coat and covered himself. Why? He's not going to appear naked before. Nakedness is not completely nothing. Nakedness is when you show off things you're not supposed to show off. I'm going to say something that some people may be... In God's mind, our swimming pools in Singapore are places of nakedness, where many men and ladies see things not supposed to see. Okay, so there's something I want to drop in, we will teach later. I've taught it before. But you need to be careful. But here, when Peter realized that it was the Lord, notice he didn't say, I'm going to run away. Christians, are you listening? If you're walking away from God and you find that I just cannot come back to God. But when you know that Christ is there, the normal relationship response is that you run to Christ. Amen? The love of Christ always draws us back. You can be as far away as the north is from the south, but when you hear Christ, the Bible says when Peter heard that John said, "It is the Lord, it is the one who died for me, it is the one whom I betrayed." What did people do? Peter do? He ran to, he jumped into the sea. Can you imagine? Maybe faster than Michael Phelps. Okay, I think he just, I don't know what kind of dive he did. And he was swimming to find Christ. No matter how far you are, if God, you are feeling a tugging in your heart right now, that Jesus says, "Come back to me, my son." That was what Peter did. That was what Peter did. The response of a genuine believer to the Lord is a recognition of who Christ is again and a movement back to Him. Because you know why? You need to realize how much Jesus Christ loves you. For Christ to stand on the shore and look at a bunch of people who forsook Him in His time of need and said, "Children, do you have meat? Do you have food? Do you sense and hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Hey, I still love you. I don't care how far you've gone from me." I want you to look at John chapter 21 when Jesus asked in verse 5, "Have you any meat?" Number one, He still cares about our needs. He still cares about your needs. No one, if you're a child of God, is so far from God that He will not take care of your needs anymore. Just like a human father and a human mother, who no matter how bad the child is to him, he will still provide the lunch and dinner and breakfast. He will still pay for the bus fare. He will still make sure the son is covered or the daughter is covered with proper clothing. When it's hot on the aircon, he will. No matter the needs of the child, the parents will still provide. You know what? It shows that relationship Jesus has with the disciples. The care of the need. Number two, to come back, Jesus gave counsel as well. After, in John chapter 21, verse 6, after 25 verse, when Jesus asked, "Have you any meat?" and said, "No." In verse 26, notice Jesus gave counsel. And He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast thereof, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Can anyone see any relationship of this part? In Luke chapter 5, the day that the disciples first committed themselves to follow Jesus Christ, it was the same scenario. Luke chapter 5, remember? They fished the whole night, they caught nothing. Jesus came, "Go out, throw your net down on the starboard side," which is the right side. And the Bible says they got so much fish. And then in their most discouraged time, in the time they have walked away from God, God brought back to their mind, "Remember the day you started following me?" You know how wonderful it is that God always uses our victories in our lives to encourage us to come back to Him. "Remember the time you were on fire for me?" And the Bible said here, in John chapter 21, verse 6, Jesus gave counsel, "Go, cast your net on the right-hand side, and come back, and you will find." In John chapter 21, in verse 7, the Bible says, "Therefore the disciple whom Jesus," verse 6, "cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast thereof, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. The fishes were, whoa! And then, perhaps the first person to realize that was John. Because John was in the same boat in Luke chapter 5. And that was about 3 years ago. And John said, "It's the Lord." John is the sensitive one. John is the one that's close to God in his heart. "It's the Lord. I remember this was what happened 3 years ago." And so as a result, John says, "Hey, it's the Lord. It's the Lord." And Simon Peter jumped in. You know, firstly, Jesus realized the love of our Savior. He cared for their needs. Do you have any meat? Number two, he gave counsel. Throw it out. You know, in the times that you are away from God, God still cares for your needs. Amen. He also still gives you counsel through people who loves you, through your parents, through the church, through the Bible. He still gives you counsel. And you know what? They obeyed the command, they cast net, and they found the fishes. But then in John chapter 21 and verse 10, they listened to the counsel. They were obedient. Jesus said to them, bring off the fish which ye have caught, which they brought. The Bible says in verse 8 first, and the disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land. As it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with their fishes, there was apparently 153 fishes. And no commentator could actually understand why it was 153. Basically, have you seen 153 fishes at one time? The most amount of fish I saw was 40 in my house. I tried to fry them all. 27 only survived. The rest got stuck to the frying pan. So it was all broken. But I think basically God is saying, look, they had a big catch of fish that night. That day, when they caught nothing without Christ. You know, the sweet thing about when we realize the love of our Savior, He still cared for our needs in our time of walking away from Him. He still gave us counsel, and He still wants communion. Look at verse 12. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come and eat with me. Did you realize, church members, the Lord's Supper is a place that God calls us back to Him? Because it says, come and dine. And we know the Lord's Supper is a remembrance time, the cross. And it's such a wonderful picture. Jesus says, come, come and eat. You must understand, how many of you like to eat by yourself most of the time? Can I say this from the scriptures? Eating is always a social fellowship time in the scriptures. Whenever Jesus ate, it was always with someone. Oh, Brother Johnny, does that mean I cannot eat myself again? Well, if you have no one to eat with you, then too bad. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in the pattern of the scriptures, whenever you have lunch, it's always good to eat with someone else to encourage them, for them to encourage you. Of course, if you cannot, then if there's no one, then too bad, you know. But you know, in the time of Christ, in the Jewish culture, eating is always a social thing. And when Jesus says, come and dine, there was a specific social reason. I want my disciples to know I still accept them. Would you let your enemy eat at your table? Would you invite an enemy to your house for dinner? No. Let me ask you, was Peter an enemy of Christ? No, he was a betrayer of Christ. But you know what? Jesus did not let that get in the way of his relationship with Peter. That is the relationship God has with you. There is no sin you can commit that will put you away so far from God, He's not going to want you back. And I want us as Christians to realize that we may have backslided, we may have gone away, but God wants us back. And I believe this is where Jesus wants us to understand. So there was communion. Come and die, and none of the disciples does us him. Can you imagine? Let's say I'm a disciple, I betrayed Christ, and this Christ asked me to eat with him. He's like, okay. Can you imagine what was going on in their hearts? You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was getting, I believe, knowing Christ for so many years personally, and I hope many of you, I think, will know too. If you know Christ in his heart, the Lord may be saying, I know you betrayed me, but I still love you. But you know, the disciples had the proper response. They were afraid. What is he going to do to me, you know? He was afraid. They were afraid. But they still ate with him. There was communion. Number one, recognize the lostness in Christ. It all starts there. You can never solve a problem if you don't identify the problem. If we don't agree that we have walked away from God, we will never come back to God. We need to understand. The trend of your life will reveal what kind of life you have. And Peter knew he has gone back to the world. And that's where Jesus came looking for him. You know why? Jesus had a plan to fulfill in Peter's life. But understand, in between the lostness and the restoration, God always inserts his love to accept us back if we will come back to him. God accepts us anyway. Like a father or mother who will always love his child regardless of how they respond to him. You know what? That's not fish love. That's unconditional love. Okay, number three, we need to, in order to be found in Christ again, to do His will, recognize our lostness. Number two, realize the love of the Savior. Number three, respond to Christ's call for service. And it's interesting. All right, I'm going to go through the last part now. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, what does it mean for you? So when they had dined. In Chinese custom, when you meet each other at the lift, what will you always ask them first? Huh? 吃饱了没有?驾不为? Have you eaten? Do you do that in the Philippines? What do you all do when you meet each other? I don't know, but in the Chinese culture, whether it's 11 o'clock at night, right? 吃饱了没有? 没有,我还没有吃宵夜, you know? This Chinese culture, the Bible says, when they're at nine, when they 吃饱了, when they are full already, when all their needs are met in Christ, when they realize that they have been accepted by Christ after they've come back, when they realize all their needs are met, they're comforted in their trials and everything that happened to them, they can see that in Christ's mind, whatever that's over is over. When they had dined, Jesus had something to deal with Peter. And Jesus said to Simon Peter specifically, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. We all know in this passage, Jesus asked, lovest thou me three times. I used to believe, I still do partly. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. How many times did Jesus say, do you love me? Three times. I used to think that the Lord Jesus is trying to cancel out. But after you study the movement of the Lord's interaction with Peter, I came to a different conclusion. Now let me just go through it. So you guys, number one, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? The word lovest there is agape. Do you unconditionally love me? You know, I believe Jesus was pointing at, Peter, remember the time you said that you would die for me? Remember when Jesus was saying, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to kill me. And what did Peter say? No, Lord. They're going to kill me. I will die for you, Lord. And when Jesus asked the question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? God had to deal with his heart. With regards to what he said before and what's his condition now. Peter before told Jesus, I will give up my life for you. That's unconditional love. And that's why when Jesus asked him again, do you unconditionally love me? Because you said so. Because you said so. And Jesus was holding Peter to what he was saying. Today, many people, you know why many people dare not speak in commitment? For this precise reason. Many Christians today are not committed Christians. Why? Because they know whatever they say, they will be held to it. Which is not the wrong thing. Because Jesus said, let your yea be and nay, and so in worldly wisdom, then I don't commit first law until I'm very sure I can. That's not faith. That's the flesh. Until I believe, I know I can, that's not faith. You're depending on yourself. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us about this because Peter had this problem. But I want you to know, lovest thou me more than this. What is these? What are these things? Why did Peter deny Christ? Why? Sorry? Because he was afraid. Because he was afraid to do what? To lose his life. What will man give in exchange for his life? And when Jesus asked this, lovest thou me more than these? And perhaps Jesus was saying, look, Peter, you're a good fisherman. You have a good occupation. Do you love me more than your achievements? Do you love me more than the things of this world? Do you love me more than your abilities? Do you love me more than what you can achieve now? Do you love me more than your comforts? Do you love me more than your conveniences? Do you love me more than these? Peter, you said you loved me. You said you were willing to die for me. Do you sense the depth of Jesus' question to Peter? Now, I'll explain to you why later he has to ask a question. But at this point, Peter's response. He says, hey, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. When Peter said that, Peter demoted his love himself. He no longer said, I will die for you. Because the word, thou knowest that I love you, is filial. Which means, Lord, you know I have great respect for you. Is very different from someone who say, I will die for you. But Jesus go ahead and say, feed my lambs. Okay? That's important after I talk about that. But then he went on the second time in John chapter 21, verse 16. Jesus went on to say, he says unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Notice he left out the more than this. You know what Jesus was saying? The first time Jesus was trying to get from Peter, you say you're going to die for me. You still love me the same way? It was very clear. It's relegated already, going down. You know that I have great respect for you. When Jesus asked the second time, Jesus was looking at him, perhaps, and said, I thought you said you love me. Lovest thou me? And this question was more in intensity now. Peter, are you sure that's only the love that you have for me now? You know what Peter answered? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. In verse 6, he says unto thee, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know I have great respect for you. That's the same thing Peter said the second time. I want you to notice in verse 17. He says, Jesus says unto Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you only love me with a great respect? Jesus changed the question and relegated it and bring it down to Peter's level. You know what was Peter's response? And Peter was grieved. You know, Peter was grieved. The Savior that he said that he will die for, he no longer feels the same way. But when Jesus targeted that, he knew what Jesus was saying. And Jesus, do you only love me with great admiration that you are no longer willing to die for me? That's why Peter was grieved. When we have walked away from God and we realize how much God loved us, that's not the end. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in believers who will not grow. The fact that Jesus still asks him, will you feed my lambs and sheep, indicates that God wants to move us into his service still. Because he knows that if you stay in your comfort zone, most likely you're going to go and slip back. And Jesus wants us to respond to three calls. Number one, his call of sincerity. The Lord Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me only with a great admiration? And the Bible says in verse 17, Peter was grieved because he says unto you the third time. The force of the scriptures tell us when Jesus said the third time, it broke his heart. God, you know all things. You know how much I love you. Peter was indicating his weakness at that time. He knew, God, I cannot get past this level. I recognize now I cannot say I love you with all my heart and I'm willing to die for you without your help. And Peter was willing to tell Jesus, said, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter was consistent now. He's no longer kwatang. He's no longer... You know, some people will say, well, I can do this for God. No, he used to be like that. But when faced with his Savior, he said, no, I cannot. The Lord Jesus is asking us, he's calling us to sincerity. And when he asks, do you love me more than this? He's asking, how sincere is your love for Christ? He's asking, do you love me, Peter, more than your occupation? More than your previous life? More than your achievement of 153 fishes? It was no doubt that Peter had to reflect of his love. Number one, he's calling us to sincerity. But he's also calling us to our availability. Notice, after he says, do you love me? He said, feed my lambs. You know what's the meaning of feeding my lambs? Lambs are the young of sheep. It refers to new believers. Feed my sheep refers to older lambs who have grown up. And it refers to also helping the older Christians to grow. You know what Jesus was indicating? Peter, I've got a ministry for you. I've got a ministry for you. How much you love me will be directly related to how much you will stay in the ministry for me. Because the Lord Jesus is not interested in half-hearted Christians who will give an excuse for every time there is a need to serve him in the ministry. It was a call to Peter, yes. Peter is going to be one of the pillars of the Christian church. And for those that God calls to his ministry, he expects us to love him first. We need to respond. He's asking how sincere our love is. He's asking for our availability. Look at verse 18 and 19. Because Jesus went on to say this, verily, verily, I say unto you. Notice after he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, he said, surely I say unto ye, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. In other words, when you were young, you do what you want, you go where you want, you just do your pleasure and you walk wherever you would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Well, now what was Jesus talking about? Do you realize that in this verse, Jesus prophesied how Peter is going to die? Peter was crucified. And that's why he says, Peter, when you were young, you were impulsive, you did all you want. But when you will be old, someone is going to stretch out your hand, as in the crucifixion, and they're going to carry you to a place that you don't know what to go. And the Bible says, this spake Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. You know, in this verse, the Lord is asking us, how available are we for his ministry? And I believe also that the Lord Jesus is telling Peter and us individually, there will be a price to pay for following Christ. Oh, we are Christians. We are Christians. Oh, we've trusted Christ. But how sincere is our love for Christ? It's what Jesus is asking Peter. I'm just applying us to ourselves. How available are we for his ministry? Because in God's ministry, there will come a time you will have to make that choice between your ambitions first, your comfort first, your bed first, your relaxation first, or God's ministry first. Firstly, God is calling us to sincerity, he's calling us to availability, and he's calling us to increase activity. He says at the end of everything, he says, after he has said all this, in verse 19, and when he has spoken this, he says unto him, follow me. You cannot follow Jesus watching television. You cannot follow Jesus without opening your Bibles and reading it. You cannot follow Jesus by giving excuses that you're tired. Oof. Shoni, you're very hard. I know I'm hard myself too. I know when I say all this, sometimes with Rajani, you don't understand. No, I don't understand. I'm saying this. We've got to give up cozy Christianity. That growing in Christ don't need any work. We are contented to commune with Christ. We're contented to read the Bible. We're contented to commune with Christ when He calls us back. But you know what? That's not the end. There's still a world dying, going to hell. There's still people who need Jesus. And it's interesting, when Jesus dealt with Peter, He was asking me, will you take care of my non-believing, or the young believers that come to Jesus Christ? And I believe that the Lord was telling Peter, because He is going to bear the burden of the early church. And if Peter's heart is not set on following Jesus, do you realize Peter backslided in his ministry? In the book of Galatians, not just one time, no, we fall. Peter fell. And Peter went back to his fear. Did you realize that in Galatians chapter 2? But you know what? God had mercy on him. This time it wasn't Jesus, it was Paul. And Paul was more fiery. You, how dare you? You, how can you teach salvation by grace when you're living by the law? That's what he was saying in Galatians 2. But you know what? Peter repented. You realize at the end of Peter's life, he did learn. Finally, in Jewish, or rather in historical background of Peter, apparently he was leaving Rome because he was going to be persecuted and killed. And it was said that Peter walked out of Rome, but on the way in, Jesus Christ was walking in. And then Peter met Jesus. I mean, this is in the historical annals, and he said, what are you doing here? Peter asked Jesus, why are you coming in? He said, I'm coming in to die for you again. And Peter realized, hey, I cannot shirk my responsibility. Peter turned around, went in, and he was crucified. And he said, look, crucify me, but don't crucify me the same way my Lord was crucified. I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus, and they crucified Peter upside down. He did learn. Our Christians in this 21st century, will we learn? Some of us need to seriously look at our priorities. Really seriously. But I want you to realize the Lord had the best plan for Peter. And it wasn't fishing. Now, some of you like fishing. But you know what? The plan for Peter's life wasn't fishing for the rest of his life. But you know what? Peter, later on, when he submitted to God in the Holy Spirit and empowered the church, he was one of the pillars, and Bible Christianity exploded. Yeah, he died for Christ. He's calling us to sincerity. He's calling us to availability. And he's calling us to increase activity. But Brother Johnny, you know, we have to balance everything. No, you don't have to balance it. The Christian life is setting your priorities right. The balanced Christian life is putting the Holy Spirit's prompting and His Word as number one priority. You know how you balance your life? Not to juggle the time you have. We all have 24 hours. Yes? But it's to find out, Lord, what is your priority and put it there where it belongs. That's the balanced Christian life. If we try to balance our life around our relationships and our work and our studies and try, oh, I'm trying to live a balanced Christian, that's not balance in the Bible. You know what's the balance in the Bible? Walk in the Spirit, and He will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You know why you want to balance all this? Because you want to keep all these things as well. And I'm encouraging and challenging you today. Have you found your direction in Christ? The Lord has been convicting my heart about how I pastor. I believe with all my heart, we need to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just saying we are Christians. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ here with all his love for, I think we all know Jesus loved Peter very much. But Jesus was very hard on him too. Hard. So that he can get to change. And God wants us to learn to love Him above all things. But Brother Johnny, does that mean I have to make decisions? When was the last time you made a decision for Jesus Christ and stuck to it and moved forward for Him? Some of us really need to know the Bible more. That's your basis of your faith. Some of us need to spend more time on what God is saying rather than our own pleasures and the lovers of our own selves. We need to turn our lives over to Christ. You know, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you that people have been listening, and I believe, Lord, you have so much to say to us through your word. But God, when we look at how you dealt with Peter, oh man, Peter was struggling, we know, Lord, and he was a betrayer of Christ. Lord, I suppose there can be nothing worse than betraying the Son of God. And Lord, no wonder Peter was so discouraged. He had to go back to the world, and he felt he wasn't worthy, perhaps, because of his sin. But God, thank you for the love of our Savior. Lord, you call to us to meet our deepest needs. And we are thankful for your care, your counsel, and the communion that you want us to have with you once again. It is clear, Lord, you were practicing love covers a multitude of sins. But God, we can also see from the scriptures you did not stop there. Because if as Peter would just stop at the communion, he would actually just rest in his laurels and be complacent with his Christian life, perhaps. But Lord, you had a more urgent, more important ministry for him. That of winning people to Christ, discipling them. And there's something we can do, Lord. And I pray that you help us as a church to stop looking at ourselves, start looking at you for what you want us to do. I don't know how you're going to work in our hearts, but I do ask you, Lord, to speak to us in a special way through this message. If your eyes closed, heads bowed. We'll be seeing, I will have decided to follow Jesus later, but if you're a Christian today, Peter was a Christian. In John chapter 20, he received Christ. But are you saying, Lord, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to my heart. I realize I'm lost. There are certain things I know I need to get right. I'm coming back. Lord, I don't know how God has worked in your heart, but I just want to pray. Is there someone who says, Pastor, pray for me that I want to come back to God? Jesus is waiting for me on the shore, and I need to just gird my clothes and jump into the sea and just swim towards him. I mean, just figuratively speaking through the Bible, but are you so far from God, you cannot even recognize who he is anymore? Or you have doubts about him anymore? You know, a Christian who has doubts about Christ represents the fact that you're so far, you forgot how your Father looks like. We need to get back to God. Is there someone to say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to start swimming, finding my way back to God. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you, for God to work in your heart. Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand. Brethren, it always involves identifying where that the lostness is and then swimming back to Christ. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen. And be sincere with God. Brother Johnny, I don't know how sincere I should be, just to the best of your ability. No, humanly we cannot measure sincerity, but you know when you're sincere or not. But you know what? God knows your heart. Just say, God, I don't know whether I'm sincere, but God, I'm telling you, I want to follow you. Is there someone else? All right? Just one final question. If you're here, you're not a Christian, can I say Jesus loves you more than anything else in the world? You know how I know that? He gave his life to die for you. And he wants you to come back to him. You say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand how Jesus, God, can die for me, but if he loved me, I want to be a Christian. Is there someone like this? A pastor, pray for me. I'll get someone else to share with you the Bible and explain to you clearly. We will not want any money. We do not want anything else except to show you this God that loves you so much. Is there someone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the hands that have been put up for Christians. And I'm praying, Father, that they would grow in their love for you. Father, but it always starts with a decision in their hearts to identify their lostness in Christ. And Father, as we look at Peter, Lord, I mean, he must have had a hard time with the God of the universe, his own Savior, confronting him about his heart. And yet, Lord, today you're confronting us as well. I'm thankful for the brethren and the sisters and the brother who has put up their hands. I pray, as they have sincerely put up their hands, help them, Lord, to walk with you, even when the world doesn't. Thank you, Father, that the disciples and all of them, Lord, were in one heart, one mind, wanting to follow you. I pray that it will be true too in our lives. That as Christians, we will encourage one another. Lord, we're not going to be perfect, but we really do need to relook at our priorities. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, guide these brethren who have put up their hands. That, Father, from now, they will live their life with the correct prioritization. If not sure, Lord, they'll be willing to ask for help and remove that fear of changing their lifestyle, because Peter had to give up everything to follow Christ once again. And there may be certain things, Lord, that you're asking us to do. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be comforted by the knowledge that you know what you're doing, that we're willing to allow you, Lord, to change us. So, Lord, as we sing the closing hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus, I pray that you will seal this decision in our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.